Hi, and welcome to another episode of CineNation. I am Brandon Sparks.
And I'm Ben Gertz from the illustrious Portland.
I'm Thomas Horton.
And I'm Hunter Barcroft.
There we go.
That was flawless.
We got it. We killed it.
First time doing a true four-person intro there, guys. Good job. We're like the Power Rangers. And we're CineNation.
We're like Channel 4 News Team from Anchorman.
Does this mean we get to redo it now?
No, I think we keep it as is. As is, we keep it. We do it live. We'll do it live, Bill O'Reilly.
So we've been prepping this for a while now, this episode, and it is our tribute to Tom Hanks, and it's called Hanks Fest.
Woohoo!
There you go. So this is going to be our first kind of full filmography episode on a certain actor, and Tom Hanks was lucky enough to be the first one. Maybe he'll be on later. But anyway, yeah.
Unfortunately, Shia
was arrested this week, so he had to cancel. So we're pushing it to next week. Hopefully he'll get out of jail.
Sometime soon.
You know what's sad? The terrible part about him getting arrested is he missed the majority of Austin City Limits. That's so sad.
So let's get into this Tom Hanks Fest. So who all has been watching some movies to prep for this day?
I watched one or two. Mostly Road to Perdition. I've never seen Road to Perdition until now.
Road to Perdition, I was starting a little bit today because I've watched a few times. So good.
Pretty good, yeah. Pretty good.
So good.
I'm always down to watch Hanks films, so you know.
Yeah, Road to Perdition is like his darkest role, probably.
I would agree.
It's completely out there for him. And
I mean, I would argue there's a couple characters in Cloud Atlas.
Yeah. But I mean,
you know,
this dude, I guess pre Cloud Atlas, because Cloud Atlas is an interesting film in itself, but Road to Perdition's like, he's a, basically a gangster, right-hand man of a big-time gangster, and his family, or some of his family gets killed, so he goes after the entire, basically, mob is what it is. Like, 1930s, Tom Hanks holding a Tommy gun for a good bit of the film. Like, this is like,
yeah.
Very different for Hanks that time. But yeah, so Ben, you've been watching some movies, right, to prep for tonight?
I mean, I want to go ahead and surprise everybody and say, yes, I have watched a couple of films. I watched Philadelphia for the first time, which...
Wow.
Great film.
Yeah, you started great with a good film. One.
And, you know, a strange thing that I realized in prepping for the show is that I searched for Tom Hanks on Netflix and on HBO HBO Go, and none of his films are present on either service. And the only film that's streaming was on Amazon was Philadelphia. That was it. So I'm not sure.
You could watch Forrest Gump on Netflix.
Really?
You can.
Well, then, so my search did not work properly because I was typing in his name and got nothing on Netflix.
Maybe it's just a Portland thing.
Maybe it's just a Portland thing.
That Portland Netflix, you could only watch Portlandia.
Okay, it's Forrest Gump and The Burbs pop up. You're right. So I don't know what went wrong before.
Oh,
but
The Burbs.
I feel like at some point I've watched Castaway on Netflix, but you know how Netflix like fluctuates.
It was.
Yeah.
I think they lost it when they got some of the deals they had let slip through. I think they lost Castaway. But it was on there for sure. I remember seeing it.
Anyway, Philadelphia was fantastic. And I really thought it was interesting the immediate connection in my mind is to Dallas Buyers Club with McConaughey.
Yes.
Very much so.
I was really surprised, too. Something to put in the show notes I sent you guys that I think is fantastic is Hanks's acceptance speech at the Oscars.
Oh, God.
I mean, if you have a soul, then it will be touched. Especially in light of the film. But I was really surprised as well. Just, I think Denzel Washington's performance is almost more interesting. It's a much more active role. And I guess I was surprised at how Hanks is, you know, as a character, somewhat passive in the construction of the film. And so it's still poignant and beautiful, but just interesting in that, you know, with time, now that we've seen McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club, the different approaches to the same kind of similar topic. You know, I think McConaughey's performance stands. I don't know. I don't want to. Let's talk about Tom Hanks.
Let's not pick battles here.
stands above time, which is a flat circle.
Okay, Ben, what else did you watch? Is that it? Philadelphia?
I watched a little bit of Punchline, and I haven't finished it yet, but I like the setup, and I like Tom Hanks a little bit sassy, which is kind of the Road to Perdition, some of his other films. I like him kind of off the beaten path of Mr. Everyman American that people love. I think he's really fascinating to watch.
Yeah, we'll see. With Punchline, Thomas Hunter, have you guys seen Punchline?
I've not
seen Punchline.
Punchline, because I think I recommended it to you, Ben, early on. Because it's about stand-up comedians, is what it is. And it focuses on Sally Field, who plays a housewife who's trying to become a stand-up comedian. And she basically enlists the help of Tom Hanks, who is this kind of hot, up-and-coming comedian who's actually used to be a medical student and basically gets kicked out of medical school because he's been spending a lot of time not studying and doing comedy. And he's on the brink of success. And Punchline's one that came out the same, or it was filmed before Big, but came out the same year as Big because they didn't know what to do with the film and they wanted to capitalize on his success. Because the film is very, there's a lot of comedy elements to it, but there's a good bit of drama to it. And that's kind of one of the, maybe a problem with the film is that sometimes it's very dramatic and sometimes almost slapstick comedy in certain aspects, in certain parts of the scenes, or movie. But Tom Hanks, have you gotten to the part of his meltdown on stage, Ben?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I won't ruin it then.
Okay.
But there's a moment in the film, and this is 1988 when it came out, so that Tom Hanks is like hasn't really done much dramatic roles yet, and there's a moment in the film where you really see just how good, like basically it's a glimmer of what is to come for Tom Hanks, like dramatically, because it's very different than the comedic roles that he's been doing beforehand with like Money Pit and Splash and things like that. Go ahead.
Well, I've got one other film that I know you want to talk about, which is That Thing You Do.
Yeah.
First time I ever saw that. So I enjoyed the homework for this episode. It's a fantastic film. I'm again kind of surprised by his role, especially as the director. I think it's interesting when it's clear that like as a director he could put anybody in that role or shape the role to be whatever he wanted, and his persona within it is, you know, kind of not the Tom Hanks that I expected. I'd seen a couple clips, but he plays this kind of hard nosed, kind of uncaring in a way, business record exec, and I don't know. It's an interesting performance, and it's interesting potentially to talk about some of the other bits depending on how much you want to go into it, but
yeah. The I don't know if I told you, but the director's cut of That Thing You Do is also really, really good. It's like another half hour of footage, and it adds a lot more to the plot lines that really weren't, that you realize you forgot, like weren't in the movie. It adds a lot more to Tom Hanks's character for sure that you don't know about. A lot to Charlize Theron's character, a lot to the relationship between the band, like when they're first starting out. So it's really, it was on DVD. I bought the DVD of it, and it's basically it's an extended cut and the original theatrical cut. And I watched the theatrical cut a few days ago for the first time in a while, and it's really different just of how much was taken out of the film. But yeah. Larry Crown kind of gives Tom Hanks a bad rap for directing, because I think That Thing You Do was a really well put together film and a great directing movie for him.
Funny cameo to bring up, Bryan Cranston.
Oh yeah,
he's an amazing little moment that it's like, that's Bryan Cranston. What is he doing here?
He's friends with Bryan Cranston.
Well, yeah, I would be friends with Tom Hanks, so that makes sense.
Yeah,
my research for later on.
Yeah,
I found that out. I had no idea that he was that good friends with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, because Bryan Cranston's also in Larry Crown as Julia Roberts's husband. He tends to uses a few of the same actors from That Thing You Do, into Larry Crown. But yeah.
Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn. That's his breakout role, that thing you do.
Coming
guys.
Up on our next featured actor episode.
That's who William Mason suggested, by the way, was Steve Zahn.
I'll tell you, and seeing him in that role, it is immediately apparent that he's a fantastic actor. You know what I mean? It's clearly a breakout role. He's so good. Yeah, he's so great in the film.
Ben, you should write a review for Sahara with Steve Zahn and Matthew McConaughey.
You know, that's not to bring family into the picture. That's one of my dad's favorite films. I mean, he ranted about that film when we left theaters. Oh, he was just like, that McConaughey, you know, just all about McConaughey, all about the
film. So you're saying it's an inherited gene that you've inherited.
You know, we had some debates. We had some debates about it.
That movie was such a letdown for me because I was a big fan of the books. And I'm a big McConaughey fan, but he's just not, Dirk Pitt. Go back to Tom Hanks. Okay, I've got... Brandon, are we continuing with like what we've been watching to prep, or can we delve into like something that just came to mind?
Do whatever. Yeah, delve into whatever.
Because Ben just said like the Tom Hanks character in That Thing You Do isn't what we expect from Tom Hanks, and you wrote an article on our Medium site that everybody should check out comparing Tom Hanks to Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
And I feel like something you didn't like you kind of touch on in your article, but like something that just kind of came to mind is that. Even though we like depict Tom Hanks as Jimmy Stewart as these super idealistic, like always the good guy type roles.
Yeah.
Like for the most part, I feel like they do play a lot of flawed characters. So what I want to kind of address is like, what is, cause I feel the same way. Like I think of Tom Hanks, I think of like the American everyman, but I mean, is that just coming from Forrest Gump? Cause even Toy Story, like Woody is a pretty like,
yeah,
at least for the first one, he's a very selfish and like mischievous character that doesn't totally lend himself to that kind of like idealist, you know, good guy Tom Hanks picture.
Yeah, I think by everyman, because I think I need to go back more into this with the article, because the article was written last night because I wanted to talk about it for the episode. I think with Hanks, I think everyman. I don't see that as a good guy. I see every man as a persona that everyone can relate to.
Oh yeah, not approachable.
He's
going to be approachable no matter what he's playing.
Yeah, no matter what he's playing, it's like even in Road to Perdition, which is a very dark role, and he's a good guy but a bad guy. He commits crimes and kills people for a living, basically. But because Tom Hanks is in that role, you get a very different sense of it. And you get the father-son relationship that he has with his son. And then with Punchline, because he's funny, and he's arrogant in Punchline, but he's still very funny. He's relatable. And he, in that arrogant role, he's basically playing a character saying things we wish we could say as people, I feel. Same thing with even You've Got Mail. He's kind of, even though he's a good guy. I mean, he's still seen as the big time businessman taking over.
Which is a change. I mean, one of the major changes, if you look at Shop Around the Corner to that, is they give you like more reason to not like Tom Hanks's character, Jimmy Stewart. There's like nothing wrong for that. But Tom Hanks is like trying to destroy small business with, you know, Books of Millions.
Well, and I think, go ahead, Ben.
Well, I think, for at least for me, like thinking about the films, like because there's an anchor, right, of like the films that I, you know, connected with in high school and whatever of, you know, of Tom Hanks. You look at the Box Office Mojo, like the top 10, you know, top earners for him. Forrest Gump, obviously, Saving Private Ryan is up there. All the Toy Stories, Castaway, Apollo 13, Sleepless in Seattle. Like all of those roles are in this. You know, Catch Me If You Can is right there near the top as well.
Yeah.
Those are all him as this, like, actively doing good, you know, hero, basically. I mean, Apollo 13 was... I watched that film over and over and over as a kid, and he is quintessentially a hero. I mean, you know, he's the engineer, astronaut, good American that we aim to be, right? I mean, that's what I think anchors so many of the... 'cause, you know, I didn't watch his filmography chronologically. So I had no, you know, I think I saw Turner and Hooch as a kid, some of these earlier films a little bit, but it's going back now and the anchor is set on those really successful films, you know? So it's, that's where it feels like a deviation away from.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and Brandon, in your article, you call him a chameleon, and you kind of talk about how, you know, at this point in culture, we kind of, he can become the punchline of a joke, but I think you're totally right that he, you know, I think we do kind of project this, like, oh, they cast Tom Hanks in that, he's like a good guy. And I think we tend to kind of overlook the fact that most of his hero characters still have these really interesting dark flaws.
Yeah.
That because so much of his goodness shines through.
Yeah, and it's like, for example, Saving Private Ryan, he's a teacher turned soldier, and he really, if I remember correctly, he really doesn't, like, if he had a choice, he wouldn't probably go back to save this guy.
No,
but wouldn't. Because it's his duty, he does it. And the flaw is that he really doesn't want to, but the bravery comes out, or the correct, like, whatever you want to say, comes out by him doing his duty.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that his final line, like, that, you know, somebody who was like, oh, I'm going to go save this kid, like, that wouldn't be his, like, last thought, would, like, earn all these people that died for you. Like, that's the thought of somebody who, you know, somewhat regrets doing this, and he wants to make sure that this investment pays off.
Yeah. So it's, so his characters are always, because it's Tom Hanks, you see it as the good guy, but in reality, they're all very, very, they're flawed, and they're very complex.
Well, but that's what makes it, like, the definition of relatable, though, right? Is like, we admire him because he still does the right thing, quote unquote, you know, in a lot of these films. But we see the inner complexity of, he doesn't want to do it, right? And it's like, for the most part, we all don't want to do most of the things that we, you know, should do in our lives or whatever. And then, like, the thing that we all, like, admire is, like, well, he still gets it done even when he doesn't want to, right?
Yeah.
Which is what, I mean, makes a hero, right? Is basically that. It's, if he was just Brad Pitt with steely ribs abs, in every film, then it's not quite as relatable, you know? It's like, I can't relate to someone who is perfect in every way and always does what's right.
Well, and not in, like, everybody's idea of Tom Hanks, but for me, I was raised on a lot of his 80s comedies, so I was always kind of had this, I was talking about, you know, Woody being mischievous, I was always kind of raised with that, like, at least a piece of his persona for me is that kind of, like, raunchy, goof around character that he played a lot in the 80s with, you know, Dragnet, with Bachelor Party, Man with One Red Shoe, like all of those characters are just kind of like mid-20s playboys that, I mean, would be similar to someone like Seth Rogen or maybe Paul Rudd for like this time period.
Yeah. And as what I talk about in the article, kind of the big shift for him was A League of Their Own, because that's where he really went all the way with making a big jump. Because Big was a jump for him too, but A League of Their Own was a complete, it was a quote from Washington Post article, was a complete reinvention for him. And it's like, when you look at, I'm looking at his films he starred in, between A League of Their Own, like, it's insane the amount of films he did back to back to back, like, consistently for almost a decade. It's like, you have A League of Their Own, Sleepless in Seattle, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13, Toy Story, That Thing You Do, Saving Private Ryan, You've Got Mail, Toy Story 2, Green Mile, Castaway, Road to Perdition, Catch Me If You Can, and then Lady Killers, which you could argue is a very, very different role for him.
Yeah.
Because he plays actually a crook in that movie, the Coen Brothers film, and then Terminal, Polar Express, and then Da Vinci Code, and then that's when he starts getting to producing more than anything.
Well, you know, that's... You know, it's a great point you made about A League of Their Own. I think if you ask most people, they would say Philadelphia was, like, the turn. I think it kind of, you know, there's an episode there's an episode of Family Guy where like Peter flashes back to the movie theater, like, and he's going to see Philadelphia because he thinks it's a comedy because Tom Hanks does is a comedy. And like, I think that a lot of people, if you ask them, especially who were like watching movies and keeping up with him at that time period, that was when they went, oh wow. But yeah, I think A League of Their Own was definitely a more subtle shift, but it's definitely a shift in there towards darker characters and more dramatic roles.
Yeah, for sure. So Hunter, I want to get you back into this. What have you been watching?
I'm back in it. Have you been watching anything, Hanks? I rewatched Castaway, mostly because it's one of my favorites. Forrest Gump's probably my all-time Hanks favorite, just because being from Alabama.
Yeah.
Kind of hard not to love that. But, I don't know, sidebar, I didn't realize this, and I just realized this today. The Bubba Gump Shrimp Company restaurant that I ate at on Maui was the place that Chris Pratt used to work when he was homeless.
Yeah.
Lived out of a van. Crazy. Yeah. But besides that, back to Castaway. I don't know, really, I love Castaway. I don't know why. Maybe I love Castaway so much because I just watched The Martian and there's so many good.
I was about to say, maybe you love The Martian so much because you love Castaway.
It's true, and I think that has a lot to do with it. And Castaway, just the whole being alone and completely at the mercy of nature and like, just, I don't know, there's something about that. And like the only person that I think I would like to watch do that is Tom Hanks and/or Matt Damon.
Well, and we talked about this in the last episode. Like Castaway, like The Martian, it strikes that perfect blend. There's a lot of humor in Castaway, like as well as adventure and drama, and it's
and I think it makes it really watchable. I think the one thing I see as a correlation between the two that stood out the most to me on watching Castaway again, you really have to have a charismatic, likable person to be able to drive that movie. Like that movie can't push a whole film on the shoulders of someone if they're boring and they have no charm. Like 100% I see why they cast both of them in both of those respective movies, but Castaway, had you cast anyone else, probably Ben might fight me on this because of his love for McConaughey, could probably like, it would not have been nearly
well.
The same.
So, without ranting about McConaughey, one of the things that I tend to think about, like especially with The Martian, but let's stay with Tom Hanks. But the way I like to leave a movie, and I had this debate with my brother after Interstellar, not to always talk about it, but to me, like great casting to me is defined by like who else could play that role, right? When you see a film and you think like, only this person could have done this. And in the sense that it's like, you could put another male or female, you could put another person in that spot, but the connection and the balance of the entire cast together, you know, because we walked out of Interstellar and we started naming off names of like, who would you put in place of the Honest Trailer crying girl, right? Because it's like you want it to be someone other than Hathaway. But anyway, like I think that's true with Castaway and a lot of Hanks films is that he maybe gets a little underappreciated because it does feel like so everyman and it feels like, anyone could play this role. But when you really start to name off names of like, okay, who do we really want to see on an island for 2 hours? The list is very short. Yeah, it's very, very short.
No one.
Yeah,
the list is Tom Hanks and a volleyball with a face on it. That is literally the list.
You're getting the comparisons to Martian. The difference is, like, the Martian, it cuts back and forth between Earth and there, and like what's going on there.
Yeah.
I would draw more comparisons with the Martian to Apollo 13 than I would Castaway.
Agreed.
Because Castaway,
that's a good point.
You're really there with Tom Hanks on an island for 2 hours with him in a volleyball.
That's true.
And that is it.
That's true.
Like there is no crutch to cut back to or anything.
Yeah, I will say I was hoping that at some point Matt Damon would start talking to a potato. I don't know why.
It's because of Castaway.
But I really wanted that to happen. It is. Like, that movie changed a lot of things for me.
I remember watching
Castaway in the theater.
Same.
With my grandmother and my brother during the crash scene. Spoiler alert for those who haven't seen Castaway. Also, shame on you. Basically, in the crash sequence, my brother is like, yeah, like just like loving this crash sequence, which is kind of bad in hindsight. But my grandmother was horrified.
Yeah.
Horrified. I don't really, like, more shaken up than I think most people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's an age thing, but it was just something that I noticed, and I still remember to this day for some reason.
It is. I mean, but it's a very intense unnerving. Sequence. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's very unnerving.
And I guess, too, because that, you got to give a nod to the director of that, and that's Robert Zemeckis. And
oh, dude, Bob Z.
Who would later do, like, Flight and have another intense crash sequence as well. And that's one thing about with Tom Hanks is that he's actually, for a lot of the time, he's paired himself with a lot of great directors, which has helped tremendously. If you look at his list, he really, especially kind of nowadays, he usually works with the same director consistently.
Spielberg.
That's true. He's Spielberg a lot.
He's done four with Spielberg. He's done probably he's done, I think, four with Ron Howard. He's done three with Zemeckis, I believe.
What a list to be a part of. So many of these big actors bounce around and try and do, you know, try and have like art films or whatever, right? Where they bounce around to new directors. But he's really consistently once he established himself and had a pick of projects, he's like, I'm going to work with people that are, you know, people that are great. I don't know. I think it's cool. It's a telling part of his career, I think.
Yeah.
Brandon, sorry I cut in here.
You're fine.
Something I just realized, he did collaborate with Ron Howard a lot, but if you include the producing stuff and the directing stuff he's done, 9 projects in common with Steven Spielberg.
Oh yeah, Spielberg's the main guy.
Yeah, he's done a ton of stuff with Spielberg, and mostly a lot of World War II stuff.
Yeah,
and they're working on another one.
Really, what are they working on right now?
They're working on another World War II project right now. I was just reading.
Tell me more, Thomas.
All right, talk about something else while I find the name of it.
We're looking up. Ron Howard, the reason why he's worked with Ron Howard a lot, because his first big film was Splash, and that was directed by Ron Howard, and that kind of helped. But then he did 2 films with Penny Marshall, who is a very underrated director and hasn't done a lot in many years. But then, like, Ron Howard...
All right, I'm ready to jump back in.
Okay, jump back in. Go ahead. What movie with World War II?
It's supposed to be like part of like a trilogy, I guess, now with Band of Brothers in the Pacific, but this will be focused on aviation during World War II, like the fighter pilots.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So dogfights on HBO. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Sign me up. I'm ready.
You'd watch that.
No, that sounds amazing.
You tell me when, I will be there.
Yeah.
You don't miss that to save your life.
But then another thing he's got, because it's kind of, probably since the mid-2000s, was when he started doing a lot of producing work as well, and not just acting. He's done a lot more producing and not as much acting nowadays as he did in the 90s, like in his quote-unquote heyday, or early 2000s. He's more in the producing mindset now. But the thing is, he's still doing very interesting roles for the past 5 years, like that kind of go under the radar, or at least a few.
Regardless of how I feel about Cloud Atlas as a film, like he tackles a lot of really interesting characters.
He plays like six characters.
two of them, if I can remember correctly, like two of them being like very bad, outright just bad characters.
Very, very
like evil,
different.
That's
very true.
Like
and he's about to complete the Dan Brown trifecta, the prophecy of Dan Brown.
Inferno.
That's coming. I'm excited about that.
Then he's working with Clint Eastwood on a...
That's
Sully.
Here. They just started filming. They just started filming in Atlanta.
Okay.
I was going to mention that at some point.
Yeah.
They just started. Sully, about the guy who he or you want to take this
pilot? Part? No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
So basically, yeah, the pilot who basically landed the plane in the Hudson River and saved all those people. Clint Eastwood's directing it, and Hanks is gonna play Sully. It's gonna be great.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great.
Sounds good.
That's another interesting topic to bring up is that Tom Hanks has kind of become, especially lately with his age, he's kind of become the go-to guy for playing characters who are based off real people.
That's true.
Bridge of Spies is that way. Mr. Banks, Captain Phillips, he did Apollo 13, Charlie Wilson's War, a lot of stuff that's based off a real person. And
I have a question.
Yeah.
That's just when you start listing off like names of real people he's played, is Tom Hanks right now our male Meryl Streep?
Yeah. Have
they ever teamed up and been in a movie together?
That would be incredible. Shit. That would be so good.
Well, see, that's
have they
this
not?
Is,
because maybe... that seems like an obvious pairing. How is that not real? What are we?
I don't know. We should make it real. Tom, if you're listening, if you ever listen.
I hope he does listen. I worked so hard on all those Photoshops to tweet at him. I hope.
Give the people what they want. Give Thomas what he wants.
No, I think that's a great comparison, though, Thomas. And I think, you know, Meryl Streep tends to get nominated more for the fact that she's willing to be a witch and, you know, like name the extreme end of the spectrum she's willing to go to for some of her roles. But I think, yeah, there's a lot of similarities between the two of them as far as their recent career.
But you have to imagine, like, any kind of, like, pre-production session for any kind of historical film that's particularly one that's portraying, like, a big figure. If it's a male figure, you got to imagine Tom Hanks is top on that list. And if it's a female figure, you got to imagine Meryl Streep's up there.
They're
one of your first, like, you're naming off something, you want to be in an Academy Award nominated movie, you're going after Tom Hanks. Like, it's just going to happen. You play Walt Disney, you're kind of a big deal.
I don't disagree.
Did John Heder just play Walt Disney though, and like that new one that's out?
No, that was the Thomas Ian. Gosh, what's his name? The guy from Rookie of the Year. Who was in American Pie? Thomas Ian, Thomas Ian Nichols, Nicholas.
Hunter, that's the thing that makes him a big deal is playing Walt Disney. Like, I don't think that's real.
Dude, I'm just saying, if you want to talk about an iconic person, an iconic real life person, Walt Disney's going to be about the biggest you can be. That's like bigger than a U.S. president.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I don't disagree with Hunter on this, because I also think the other thing is that it was produced by Disney. The thing with the Life Before Mickey with Thomas Ian Nichols, or Nicholas, isn't produced by Disney. Like, this was handpicked by the Disney company, and so it's going to be on a larger scale. So, I mean, who could play Disney? Who has a persona larger than the actor themselves? Like, larger than the personal life of the actor? Like, who could play that? Like, who comes to mind? Very few.
Besides Hanks. Obviously, either Rollemucker. Roland Gardner from Rookie of the Year or Tom Hanks.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Only two people that could do it.
But this goes into, I think, a completely other different discussion is how there's not that many American actors anymore, or big-time American actors anymore, the way it used to be in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And now, if you watch a lot of the films coming out, a lot of the like historical films, the American characters are being portrayed by British actors, and so a lot of the British actors are taking over, are actually, I think, better trained. And the thing that helps Hanks was that he was Shakespearean trained actor that people kind of forget about, and a stage trained actor, and
that's true.
That's helped him more, I think. And I think we don't have as many American male actors like that. I think we have. It's in favor of the British actors. I think there's a lot more talented British actors.
Think, without getting too political, I think that the British government does a lot more to, and the British society does a lot more to cultivate that.
Sure.
It's not, it's not that they're overall,
yeah,
like they're just better because they're British. It's they're better because they're supported more.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's society. That's a topic unto itself for sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's true.
But let's go back to Tom Hanks. So, should we do favorite Tom Hanks movies right now or in a little bit later? Since we're about to move on to something else, I want to ask.
I think we should go into it. Let's do this.
So, Hunter, you go first. Top five Tom Hanks movies.
Top five. Okay.
Or you can do top, like his movies or performances, because I think there's a difference.
So now I can include Carly Rae Jepsen in mine.
Oh, Thomas.
Boo.
Thomas. That is so sad but relevant. That's the world we live in. Okay, that's just sadly the world we live in. But okay, I'm gonna go. Number one, I'm gonna say Forrest Gump.
Uh-huh.
Hands down, favorite one. Watch it. And it's one of those things where if you pass by a TV with Forrest Gump on it, you're gonna watch it until it's over.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, it happens to me all the time. I don't know why, but that. Castaway, Toy Story 3, Apollo 13.
Next.
Okay.
I like it.
Nice. Tom.
Yeah, Toy Story 3, man. Toy Story 3 sneaks up on you and just gets you.
Oh, man.
It
just gets you, dude. It is. Oh, it's not fair. I watched that on a date. Terrible decision. Terrible decision. Never watch Toy Story 3 on a date.
2023. See, a lot of people talked about the ending with them going into like possibly about to die. Spoilers. I mean, if you should have seen it already. That's like the sad moment. The sad moment to me was when the kid's playing with the toys and the connection that Andy has with Woody that you see. And
you just gotta give it up to Pixar, Disney Pixar, for making that like a kid's movie, but it was so. The entire tone throughout the whole film was so mature, and dark that I really did, sitting in that theater when they were headed towards the furnace, I legitimately thought that Disney was about to kill off these like beloved childhood movie
characters. Dude, I cried like a baby in front of the girl I was trying to impress.
I know, right? And there's this feeling, and like almost every movie you go into it and you're like, for most films you're like, that's the protagonist is going to make it through the movie, like a lot of film, especially children's movies. So there's something really special about Toy Story 3 and the fact that it had me sitting there going, this is the end of this film, this is the end of this franchise, like they're doing it.
But it's not, because they're doing Toy Story 4, even though I have no idea where they could possibly go.
I think
Andy's kids, does he have a kid?
They're with that new girl.
Yeah, what I heard was they're looking for Bo Peep.
Right.
That Woody's looking for Bo Peep.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Okay, Thomas, go with your top five.
Top five? Okay, Castaway. Let's go. I'm going to go up because I want to talk about my number one for just a second. Okay. Castaway is definitely on there. I probably go Big. I love Big, and I think he's got an incredible performance. And Big.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan. The Man with One Red Shoe. Highly underrated Tom Hanks comedy from the 80s. I love it. I love that movie. It's really, really funny. There's a lot of great comedy in it. It's one of those classic wrong man, like North and Northwest, but you know, with a comedic twist where he's mistaken for a spy. And kind of you're bumbling every man thrown into like a espionage situation. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. Worth checking out.
With Jim Belushi, right?
Jim Belushi. Jim Belushi and Carrie Fisher are kind of the supporting cast.
Okay.
Yep.
Carrie Fisher.
That's four. My number one is Catch Me If You Can, because I think that is a triumph in film. I love that movie, and knowing, like, having met Frank Abagnale several times and talked with him, I don't think anyone but that cast and that director could have just nailed the atmosphere and the feel of that film. Mm-hmm. That it's so accurate to just, if you meet Frank as a person, he's just a genuinely nice guy. He's fun. And, you know, in all of this, he was just a lost kid trying to get away from home, and he never like intended to hurt anybody. And so when you watch this movie, like, it's such a fun film to watch. And I feel like it really gets more accurately than a lot of historical, I don't want to call it a historical film, but like true to life films. Mm-hmm. It really gets across the fun of what happened with some of the drama and the stakes as well. And Hanks just kind of nails that character that, you know, is very true to life too. There were actually two FBI agents who were trying to track Frank down, but he's, Frank is still very close to both of, especially the character that Tom Hanks's character is based off of. Frank is still very close with their children, and the character has passed away. The FBI agent has passed away, but Frank visits his family at least once a year because there was such an intense connection between the two of them, mm-hmm. even while he was chasing Frank down. And I think Hanks and DiCaprio just like totally bring that to life in the film. Mm-hmm. You can just feel there's so much love in Tom Hanks's character's heart for Frank, mm-hmm. and it's incredible. It's so well done.
That is the most heartfelt plea about a movie. It makes me want to watch it right now. Like,
it's a great film.
I'll be back later.
Where are you going, Frank? Where are you going?
Yeah.
To watch exotic. A great movie.
Someplace exotic.
So good.
A place with DiCaprio.
Which, by Tahiti? The way, going off of that, the one who got nominated for an Oscar was Christopher Walken. Hanks nor DiCaprio, I don't think, were nominated for that movie.
And then he did Click.
Oh. Okay, Ben.
It's
so
true. I mean, I can't. It's so true.
So, Ben, what is your top five Tom Hanks movies?
You know, I want to trade in five and just save the time for one and say Apollo 13.
Okay.
I mean, basically, it's hard to name a Hanks performance that I don't like. You know, agreed. There's some that I like less than others, obviously. But Apollo 13, I mean, you know, grew up watching it over and over again because, you know, a lot of different reasons. But my granddad worked for NASA, and, you know, just like Will Ferrell's character in the one where he's you know, he talks about like grew up wanting to be in space camp, you know what I mean? And so there's just that, I don't know, there's just a personal connection to that film. But his performance and the entire yeah, I mean, there's nothing for me to really add to it other than that's just one of my all-time favorites.
That's yours. Okay. I'm going to go with Forrest Gump because, like, Hunter, that was, like, being from Alabama, like, one that you constantly watched when you were growing up and had a impact on your life. And like,
yeah, you can't get away from it.
You can't, yeah. And then with TNT showing it constantly, like, you kind of can't get away from it. And it's like great soundtrack, a movie we didn't talk about last time, by the way, Forrest Gump, great soundtrack. Forrest Gump, A League of Their Own's up there for
me. That's true. I have a question for you about this.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Brandon. When you moved to LA since then, how many times have people, what are you telling me from Alabama, are like, oh, Forrest Gump? It happened to me like three times. I was there for a week.
It's happened to me a few times. I know when I did my introductions at USC, that's how I introduced myself. I was like, no, Forrest Gump was not real, but it's a great movie. Because I said,
also, he's my dad.
He's my dad. No, but it was also, I have had multiple questions about that. I remember one time I was in line in like at Harry Potter World at Universal in Orlando, and it was like just open, so it's like an hour and a half long wait. And I'm talking to these people, like, where are you from? Like, I'm from Alabama. They go, oh, we love Forrest Gump, is their initial response. And I was like, it's a great film. He goes, have you been to Bubba Gump here? I was like, I have. And she's like, we have a few questions. Is Greenbow a real city in Alabama? I was like, no. But Greensboro is, and I just had to go into a whole thing of what was real and what was fake about Alabama that was put in that movie.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened in a line, and I was like, thank you, Tom Hanks, because, yeah, and Robert Zemeckis. But anyway, yeah.
It's okay. He could have made Alabama look a lot worse.
It could have been. So, yeah.
Other movies. So.
It could have been a lot more real.
And real life, yeah, it could have been a lot more real.
So anyway, Forrest Gump is up there. A League of Their Own is up there. That was another one that I watched growing up many, many times, and his character was just... he was hysterical. Like it was, again, a reinvention for him was that it was a flawed character, but was like relatable and funny. And for some reason, I loved that growing up. That Thing You Do is up there for me because that was like one that came out, like, I think on my birthday when I was very young and loved it. That's three. Catch Me If You Can is in the top five for me, for sure.
Nice.
Because that's just one of Spielberg's most underrated films, probably, because everyone talks about E.T. and Jurassic Park and those movies, but Catch Me If You Can is one of his most solid films he's ever made. Everything works in that film to me. And number five, oh man, I'm going to go, this is for my mom, because my mom watches both these so many times, but I'll go with You've Got Mail as my fifth one. I'm going to say that. I don't care what people think. I love Nora Ephron's writing, even though watching it now it's very dated. But the way
it back to the AOL days.
But the way Meg Ryan and Hanks play off each other, and You've Got Mail, and even though they're not even, they're only in like two scenes together in Sleepless in Seattle, which, by the way, how that movie worked is kind of crazy to me, because your two main actors never, ever like really communicate until the very end of that film, and it's very difficult to where you have these two characters playing almost off each other, but they're nowhere near one another. They're not even in the same city.
Can I take a second to nominate for one of our future actor related episodes?
Yeah.
Greg Kinnear is just so good in that film. Tiny role, so good.
In a lot of small roles.
Love to do a Greg Kinnear episode.
I'm down with that.
Maybe one day. Okay, continue.
You've got, like I said, the Sleepless in Seattle, the way that was put together, but You've Got Mail was one, again, came out when I was a kid. I think I went to the theaters to see that movie, possibly, because Tom Hanks is in it. That's one guy, especially in the 90s and early 2000s, that was a person you went to see in theaters. Like,
Star power.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that brought you in. And another
still
one...
Still is.
Yeah, he still is. Another one I didn't mention that I wanted to mention in the article... And that's his performance in Captain Phillips. Ending of that movie, one some of the best stuff he's ever done.
Dude. Like, I watched that in the theater with Alex Biscus, our good friend of Alex the show.
Biscus. Yeah.
And after the movie, he turns to me and he just goes, if he doesn't get nominated for an Oscar, it is a shame.
And he wasn't. That,
like, when he goes into shock at the end,
oh my God.
That was literally the most real moment.
Yes, he's ever done. I remember.
Yes. I think I might have shed a tear. Like,
no, I did. I know I did. Man. And you could hear people crying in the audience because that was one where, because I remember reading, they're saying there's a moment in the movie when it's like Tom Hanks' best thing ever. And I was
that's
Tom Hanks has done a lot of stuff, guys. Like, how is that his best thing ever? And then right when it's happening, you're just like, oh my God, what am I watching right now?
Dude, yeah. It's raw. It is raw emotion. Like, that man taps into something that, like, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
the it is. I was kind of lulled into a little bit of, like, I really kind of thought that the film was over, right? I mean, no spoilers, but, like, I thought we had seen a Tom Hanks performance. You know, he's rescued. It's game over. Like, I'm basically, you know, packing everything up, getting ready to walk out the door, and then that happens. And it is like you said, raw in a way that is just unbelievably powerful. It is probably his best moment, I think.
Yeah, and the thing too with that, because I said it a little bit in the article, was that in a moment like that, he doesn't say much. That's the thing. He does not say much at all in that entire scene. Even though he is panicking, he does say some things, but it's not like a full dialogue scene. He's like just completely in shock and just him shaking and him trying to say things and trying to figure out what is going on. you're just, you're completely mesmerized by what he's doing.
Well, and isn't he saying, like, I'm fine, I'm okay, because the doctor's asking him?
Yeah, he's like, I'm fine, and then it gets into, like, he's realizing what, like, because he didn't know what was going on. If you, like, watch his face, he's, like, he's confused, and then when he starts to realize, it slowly sinks in, and he just goes to a completely different level that he's never done before.
I'm getting goosebumps again just thinking about it.
Really. And on that note, I think
we should move on to our toss it to Hunter for our special Hank's Fest activity.
Oh my gosh!
Special edition, first ever Hank's Games.
First annual
Hank's Games 2015.
So people will be able to play along at home later as they listen or later.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
A very special feature of this year's Hank's Games is that you at home, anyone listening to this, can go to Facebook and or Twitter and follow the link on our post that will let you play Hank's Games 2015 Limited Edition Jeopardy.
Yes.
Which they are about to partake
in. If you're listening right now.
Right now.
If you're listening right now and you want to play, you should like pause it and go play it.
Pause it and go play it. Because
we're about to say the answers.
You should.
Yeah, we are.
Or you can even, you can even do a play along. You can do a play along and see how people are doing and how terrible of an answer they give. Like it's so limitless. Like this possibility.
Okay, I'm excited.
Play along, choose. Ben is probably going nuts right now.
I'm ready. I got my game face on.
Okay, so Hunter, explain the rules to us.
He does. Okay, basically, pretty standard trivia. There's a Jeopardy board. Inside the Jeopardy board, there are 5 categories. All of them are related to Tom Hanks. Each one of them has a point value. 100, 200, 300, 400, or even 500 points. If you get them correct, your team will be allotted the points. Team 1, we have Ben Gertz. Team 2,
glad to be number 1.
Brandon Sparks. Woo! And Team 3, we have Tom/Thomas Horton.
Yeah, I'm going to make my namesake proud.
In our hearts, Ben.
TH, you have the same initials. Same initials.
I hope you hear a victory.
Hunter, can you hear us?
If we lose Hunter in the lead up to the games, this is going to be... this is like if Jennifer Lawrence died at the beginning of Hunger Games or something. They just rewrote the whole series.
Hunter, can you hear us?
Can anybody whistle the little? Can anybody whistle reception. The theme song for Hunger Games?
Give him a minute. I've never seen a Hunger Games movie, so
they played the trailer for part 2 at the beginning of The Martian.
Oh my gosh!
Oh yeah, it looks pretty good. I was kind of confused about what the zombie things were from I Am Legend, but other than that, it looks pretty good.
Are you back?
Okay, oh, Hunter's back.
He's back. Okay, let's do this, Hunter.
It's gotta be better than the book, because the third Hunger Games book was literally the worst thing of all time.
It's
like, talk about a letdown.
It's dark, but it's actually pretty solid.
Okay, Hunter.
All right, well, we got Hunter back. We'll fix it.
Hank's Games 2015. I'm back. All right. Are you ready for Hank's Games 2015 Jeopardy?
So wait a minute. I don't have a buzzer. This is a key question.
Okay. I think the best way for us to do this is to send like a Skype message.
Oh my gosh.
The first one to press enter.
Oh,
like,
man.
I don't know. Put your initials, your initials. So, without further ado, Hank's Games Jeopardy 2015.
Okay, so who picks the first category?
I assume Ben.
Ben Gertz. Ben Gertz, team number 1.
Okay.
Obviously, the dark horse.
Oh, my gosh.
You get the first pick.
I'm coming at you guys like a dark horse. How about...
I'm ready for a perfect storm.
So, wait a minute. I don't know Jeopardy rules. Can I start at 100 or 500? Can I just pick a...
You can start wherever you want.
Do we
start
have
at 100 if you feel daring enough.
Do we have to answer it in the form of a question?
Oh, gosh.
Yes, you have to answer it in the form of a question, just like Jeopardy.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh. I'll take Hank's quotes for 100.
Hank's quotes for 100. I had to keep breathing, even though there was no reason to hope, and all my logic said that I would be never seen again in this place. So that's what I did. I stayed alive. Is a line said by this character in the Robert Zemeckis film Castaway.
I have to know the character's name?
Yeah.
You have to know the character's name.
Is his name like Rob?
Who is?
Who is Rob?
False.
No using the internet, people, even though we're not screen sharing.
Yeah, we can hear you typing, Brandon.
I wasn't typing.
I literally sent you a photo of this ID that I found in the prop house the other day, Brandon.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You literally know this. You know
yeah,
this.
Brandon, you got a hint, and you still don't
time know it out. We don't know it.
We don't
all
know
right.
It. All right. Yeah.
Correct responses. Chuck Nolan.
Chuck Nolan.
Chuck Nolan, you guys. You call yourselves Castaway fans?
It's not like Wilson talked to him the entire time, for God's sake.
Dare
guys.
You!
Yeah, why is Christopher Nolan's name in that film?
Post.
Okay, I pick again. I pick. Let's go with a pop culture Hanks for 500.
That's what I was going to go
oh,
for, Brandon.
Getting yeah. risky.
Yeah.
Getting risky. Yeah. Old boy. Tom Hanks. Owns shares in this company in a semi-okay but not overly fantastic film, Forrest Gump.
Gosh, Thomas.
What is the Bubba Gump Trump company?
False! False! What? False!
Semi-okay but not...
False!
Really. Oh, damn it. I just figured out what it was.
Ben Gertz, bit!
Bleep me out later, Brandon.
Brandon, are you getting in on this?
Yeah,
type it, Brandon.
I got this. What is Apple?
Ah!
And the answer is, what is Apple? Brandon Sparks.
What's next? Okay,
you
so,
run the table.
All right, I'll go with Real Life Hanks for 100.
Real Life Hanks for 100. Tom Hanks is married to this actress slash producer with whom he has two children.
I got it first.
Yes. No.
I got it first.
Ah, you did. He did.
Yeah, I got
that's,
it first.
That's Sparks.
Okay.
Brandon Sparks.
Who is Rita Wilson?
Oh! He's correct.
Sparks, coming for you.
Oh my god!
Real Life Hanks, was that for 100?
Yeah,
was that for 100?
It was 100.
That's 100. Huh? Go back. Okay, there we go. There
oh.
We go. Okay, so I'm gonna go with Hanks through the years 500.
Brandon Sparks on a roll, ladies and gentlemen.
Do we have
I
should
have known Sparks was taking over this game.
Yeah, don't you have to work your way up from like 100 all the way down? I don't know Jeopardy,
no,
but.
Just... You can just no. jump on it.
Okay.
You can jump, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be harder.
Repeat for what number?
500.
For 500. You're just going for all the marbles here. You're going for the kill.
Trying to take an early win.
Daily double.
Dang.
Tom Hanks received his first Academy Award nomination
Sparks
in this year.
Sparks got it.
I got
Sparks got it.
1989.
Okay. Wait, I want to answer the question. What is 1989?
Oh, I didn't even say what is.
Dang. Thomas Dang. Horton on the board.
Wait, no.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
No.
I make the rules. I am the game master.
Okay.
Okay. I pick. You've got a friend in Hanks for 300.
You've got a friend in Hanks for 300. Tom Hanks and his good friend Ron Howard have collaborated ever since they made this film, which also happens to be one of Tom's
first
feature film roles.
That's me. What is Splash? What is Splash?
Correct. What is Splash?
Back to Sparks.
Ben, what's going on, buddy?
I'm just amused by Hunter's game management skills. So good.
It would work better if my board worked properly.
I mean...
It doesn't work at all. But, you know, for people at home, they might enjoy this.
We're just watching this blue Jeopardy board with all these things, and Hunter's just swiping through them. Okay.
So give him the points, though.
You've got a friend in Hanks for 300 was what it was. Yeah, give me 300. Okay.
There we go. It works just fine.
Right,
you just have to press the buttons.
Okay, let's go with Hanks quotes for 300.
Hanks quotes for 300. After a while, I won't have to remind myself to get out of bed every morning and breathe in and out. And then, after a while, I won't have to think about how I had it great and perfect for a while. This is a line from this timeless Tom Hanks film.
Timeless.
Ooh.
Oh man, hold on.
Uh-oh. Everyone's stumped.
Who got this? Who got this?
Okay. I got a guess. What is the Green Mile?
False.
Dang.
False.
Oh no. Thomas Horton. I know what it is.
Oh, Brandon knows it. Now I have to guess it. What is Road to Perdition?
No. No.
False. False. Double stump. Gertz.
What is Forrest Gump?
No, can I just say it because I know what it is and not get the points?
Sure.
What is Sleepless in Seattle?
Game Master?
Yes! No one gets the points. Should we lose you? No one gets the points.
Oh my god.
Sleepless in Seattle.
This is like watching ESPN like football on like a cell connection on your phone.
You had your chance, man.
Oh, Hunter. This is soul crushing.
Ben, you had your moment.
We just losing.
Ben, type your message.
Ben, you're getting destroyed.
I'd make no claims as like a Jeopardy whiz. I've just been thrown into the arena.
I literally you had no like no competition there. They both got it wrong.
Yeah, and I got it wrong as well.
Who even gets to choose? It's back to Brandon. Brandon.
We need the game board
with
it. Let's
go back to Ben. Let's go back to Ben. He's player one.
I don't need charity. If we're going off of the rules here, then Thomas, it would go to you because I started, and then Brandon got one freebie, and it's, you know, fair rotation, it would go to you.
Okay, I'm gonna go Real Life Hanks for 500.
Real Life Hanks for 500. Born July 9th, 1956, Tom Hanks was given this full legal name.
I read this today.
Man. Oh, God.
I'm going to guess Thomas Samuel Hanks.
No. False. Hanks is a stage name.
Okay.
But I can't tell you what his actual legal name was.
Is Hanks a stage name?
What is it? His mother is Portuguese descent, I think. It's in the Wikipedia page that I read today, but I'm not going to look it up and I cannot tell you. So I defer the points to any man who knows this. Brandon?
Clearly, we read the... We read opposite Wikipedia pages.
Really?
Because that is not what I read.
You didn't read that Hanks
you know, Wikipedia
stage name?
I think you might be thinking of Emilio Estevez or Charlie Sheen. I'm not positive, Ben.
Dude,
no.
What if Ben changed Wikipedia pages just to Thomas trick Jeffrey me Hanks. And win the game?
Thomas Jeffrey Hanks.
Yes. One knew it, but it's true.
We don't know it.
No points.
Back to Ben Gertz.
Ooh. I feel like I have a decent shot at quotes, so I'm going to go with Hanks quotes for 400.
Hanks quotes for 400. Shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Pop. Shimmy, shimmy, rock. Shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Pop.
Thomas.
Shimmy, shimmy, rock. I met a girlfriend, a Triscuit. She said a Triscuit, a biscuit, ice cream, soda pop, vanilla on the top. Oh, Shelley's out, walking in the street. 10 times a week. I read it. I said it. I'll store your mama's credit.
I'm cool.
I'm hot. Sorry, me in the stomach 3 times.
Big.
Here's a quote from
this
famous Tom Hanks classic.
Thomas got it.
Oh, Thomas Horton! Thomas Horton! Oh!
Boom. It's a tie game.
How you like that, Sparks? 900 to 900.
To zero.
Oh. That would be good for Ben, but Thomas Horton and Brandon are just in a neck-to-neck battle.
All right.
Classic Hanks games, if I do say.
Can I go Real Life Hanks 400? Wait, did I ask 400 or 500 last time?
You did 500 last time.
For 400. Real Life Hanks, 400. Though he played one in a movie, Tom Hanks grew up wanting to become this by profession.
Oh! What
is this Ben Gertz?
No, it was Thomas.
Oh.
What is an astronaut?
Thomas Horton. You sly dog.
Oh, man.
You a junkyard dog, Thomas. You coming for all them points. Oh, look at that.
Thomas Horton
Brandon's
takes a
losing.
Commanding lead.
I'm losing as well, Hunter.
How is imminent defeat taste, Ben? Please tell us.
I appreciate your put downs, O Game Master, but I'm really okay with it so far.
All right. Can I get
praise be to thee?
Can I get real life Hanks for 300?
Thomas Horton, real life Hanks for 300.
Your repartee is surpassed by almost no one.
Tom Hanks' son, Colin Hanks, was nominated for an Emmy Award.
It's showing up on mine. Question,
Brandon.
No, I got
the question. Tom Hanks' son, Colin Hanks, was nominated for an Emmy and Golden Globe on his work in this television show. Tom Hanks.
Hunter, who are you seeing on your message board?
Is it Ben, then me, then Thomas, or?
I didn't even put my name in. I don't know this.
I see Brandon. But okay. For the benefit of the doubt, I'll go Ben.
What? No! Guess it, Ben.
He's gone. Okay. Brandon, it's all you. Take it away.
What is Fargo?
Correct. Brandon Spock's on the board.
But you still need to watch, Brandon.
I know I do.
Season 2 premieres tonight.
Pop Culture Hanks for 400?
Pop Culture Hanks for 400! At a New York Rangers hockey game, Tom Hanks was famously reunited with his friend, whom he hadn't seen in 15 years. Ben Gertz!
Matt Damon. I have no idea. Who is Matt Damon?
False!
I thought he was
false.
About to nail
Ben
it.
Gertz,
I thought disqualified. Ben had it.
Brandon Sparks.
Who is Bryan Cranston?
False! Thomas Horton, that leaves you alone.
Who is Jim Belushi?
No.
False.
It's Peter Scolari.
Short story here. New York Rangers game. In the middle of a halftime thing, which Ben should be very well, used to doing, since he used to direct and technical direct games.
I didn't direct every live event that's ever happened, Hunter.
But you did enough to know, they do certain funny little shenanigans. I don't know who they brought out to reunite.
I'm familiar with jokes, but not familiar
Hooch.
With
Wilson! Hooch. They brought out Wilson.
Okay, Wilson.
I thought it was going to be Hooch.
I thought it was going to be Hooch, too.
Well, that would be awesome, but I bet Hooch is probably dead by now. I'm just going to be honest. That got really dark really quick.
Let's go quotes for 200.
Quotes for 200. On the day of my judgment, when I stand before God, and he asked me, why did I kill one of his true miracles? What am I going to say? That it was my job? It said to what character in the 1999 tearjerker? The Green Mile.
I got it first.
Gentlemen, Sparks.
Who is John Coffey?
Like the name, only spelled different. John Coffey.
All right, Sparks.
Let's finish off the category with Hank's quotes for 500, please.
Hank's quotes for 500. Brandon going for the kill. Don't you think I know that, Frank? Don't you think I am aware there is a woman here? I can smell her like a flower.
This is
I can
500
taste her
points.
Like sugar on my tongue. Is a quote. From the best Tom Hanks movie ever, literally ever made.
Literally ever made?
Literally ever made.
Who's got their buzzer in first?
I think it was me, and...
I do believe it would be Thomas Horton.
I'm drawing a blank here, I gotta be honest.
Oh my gosh.
Ben Gertz is after me. Gotta pass it off to him.
Don't give me charity points.
Frank Abagnale, but I know it's not from Catch Me If You Can. I don't know.
False.
Forrest
Gump. So false. Not even funny.
What?
Ben.
So wait a minute. You just said what is Catch Me If You Can?
Yes.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
That's false. That's wrong.
Well, now I'm all messed up because that's exactly what I thought it was. So, I don't know. Forrest Gump. What is Forrest Gump?
Also false.
I have no idea.
You're a disappointment in humanity. Brandon Sparks, please save us.
What is Bachelor
also
Party?
False, you guys.
Oh, he got us.
You guys, I got you. You know what it is? Joe versus the Volcano.
Never seen it, never will.
Haven't seen it yet either.
I saw it, but I don't remember that line at all.
It's in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in there.
All right, let's go with the next one.
You want to know how many things I had to look through to find these questions, and you guys are just letting me down. You guys are just a constant tornado of disappointment.
Don't we
know okay.
negative that's, points that's... or something? When did the negative points come into jeopardy?
The Portland version. You know what? I'm going to give everyone negative points for answering that wrong. Boom.
Nah, I don't.
Boom.
I don't think that's how this works.
Thanks, Ben.
Okay. Now I'm going to end this game. Ben, you with should negative never have brought points. It up. This is great.
For those of you following along at home, I want to give a score update for those people following along at home.
Please do.
Score updates. Coming in last, team number one with Ben Gertz with negative 500 points.
It's a big hat. Second, it's a funny hat.
But not that far behind. Team it's number three, hat. Thomas Horton with 800 points. And last but not least, our leader, but only by 100 points, Brandon Sparks in team number two with 900 points.
It's a big hat.
Coming out of the wire here, folks.
It's a big hat.
We'll
it's
take
funny.
Away the championship and be reigning champion of Hanksfest 2015. Ben Gertz, your chance for redemption.
No, this is not what I will be redeemed by. But Hanks through the years for whatever number is still available. 400? We'll know.
There's
shortly.
A lot of Hanks through the years still available. Okay. Anything but five.
I want the most valuable one. 400, please.
400. Hanks through the years for 400. In his directorial debut, Tom Hanks directed an episode of this classic children's television show.
Oh, man.
Gentlemen?
Gertz?
I put my name in thinking it was the, oh gosh, screen lag. I have no idea. Sesame Street. What is Sesame Street?
False. Very false.
I know. I know it's false.
Oh, man.
You need to take your trip down what to Failure is... Street, man, because you just ruined this for yourself. What's the answer, Thomas?
What is Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
False. Very false. I mean, did I make these too hard? I thought they were pretty easy. If you looked at the IMDb page of Tom Hanks, you could have gotten all these right.
Maybe I just didn't retain it, okay?
I don't even know, guys.
Hunter and my professors. Maybe I just don't retain everything I read.
Oh, gosh. I'm not going to answer because I don't... I mean,
Brandon, no answer? No answer? No answer, Brandon?
No answer.
I didn't know that was an option.
You know what? You have to answer. You have to give your best guess.
Okay.
You have no gun to your head. Tell me what you think it is.
Classic.
Tell me, Brandon. Look at me. I am the game master now.
You're not on screen.
Is the torture just so you can say that line over and over? That's why you want to torture us? Like, I just need to know what drives you. What fuels this rage?
What is Thomas the Tank Engine?
No. Just tell us, Hunter. We tell don't us, Hunter. Know. Gosh, hopefully your connection cut out again. That would make this oh so much better.
Thomas the Sweeter. Tank Engine, Hunter.
It's false. You're all wrong. Tales from the Crypt. Tales from the Crypt.
That's not a children's show.
You guys are just, you're like,
you had a different childhood, Hunter. Let's be honest.
That's not a children's show, Hunter.
Oh, God. This is the worst. Okay, we're back.
Are you, like, stealing internet from your neighbors? Like, you don't pay, like...
No, this is... I pay $70 a month for this
You need
internet.
A refund, because your internet is atrocious.
Let's not mention the brand name of the program we're using for this.
Or hashtag, it's Comcast. It's Comcast, not surprised.
I'm canceling Comcast you tomorrow, Comcast. Fine. I don't like them, but...
There'll be hell to pay.
Warner. We're doing just great. I want the last real-life Hanks, because I'm hoping for a question about one person... I haven't gotten it yet. So let's go 200, Real Life Hanks. Last one left.
Colin Hanks.
Real Life Hanks. Real Life Hanks for 200. Tom Hanks won back-to-back Oscars in these two films.
That's...
Okay, I got it first.
Brandon Sparks.
What is Philadelphia and Forrest Gump?
What is Terrible Internet? For 300.
Hunter! Where is my Chet Hayes question, man?
I didn't put a Chet Hayes question in there, specifically because you started texting about it today. I was like, not putting it in there.
That's all I was looking for was a Chet Hayes question.
Brandon Sparks.
200 points. 200? Okay.
Score update. The gap is widening.
Okay. You've got a friend in Hanks 500. Is that still available?
That it is. You've got a friend in Hanks for 500. Tom Hanks has worked with his dear friend Julia Roberts this many times.
I got it.
Brandon.
What is two? Two times. What is two times?
False. Ben Gertz?
Three times.
No, it was Thomas.
Well, to be fair, Ben got it wrong. So, Thomas, it's your turn.
What is four times?
Good gosh almighty. Thomas, you just got some points. Yes. What is four times?
Process of elimination.
Oh, Game Master, tell us which four times.
Oh,
yeah,
Game Master.
Please do.
All right. I'll
are you thinking of Julia Roberts or Meg Ryan? Are you thinking about Meg Ryan?
Nope. Is that I'm thinking Julia Roberts.
Pretty sure you're wrong on this one, buddy.
How dare you question the Game Master?
Oh, Game Master, let me spill my knowledge. Freedom, A History of Us, The Ant Bully, Charlie Wilson's War, and Larry Crown.
Oh my gosh.
Oh!
Freedom, A History of Us.
Thomas Horton in the house.
The Ant Bully.
Really? Really? Are we talking about... Okay, you didn't specify.
Thomas Horton's love for the Ant Bully.
Okay,
Thomas Horton's love for the Ant Bully won him this game, potentially.
Yep.
Oh. You... Thomas Horton with a comeback of a century.
All right. Let's go. Let me do Hanks Through the Years, 400.
Hanks Through the Years for 400. I'm pretty sure we already did this one, but we'll try it again.
Let's see what it is.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. We already did. You failed it.
Yeah, we did fail that one. Okay, let's do 300.
For 300. Though he looks younger, Tom Hanks is this age.
What?
Ben Gertz, are you alive?
I didn't even put my name. This is...
I'm just checking in on you because you choked. You sound like you're choking to death.
I buzzed in, but I really don't want to answer if Tom Hanks ever does listen to this. I'm going to say Tom Hanks looks great for being 60.
Close, but no cigar. False.
63.
Ben Gertz, also false. So who are you? 63?
Okay, Tom looks great for 58.
Oh, I hate to break it to you, Brandon, but he's 59.
Oh, so close.
That is so sad, guys. You guys, ugh. That's heartbreaking. Sorry to the fans at home that now think we're all just idiots.
They're going
to
stop listening because we don't know anything about movies.
We really don't.
Okay.
Oh,
Ben, pick
who does Ben Gertz? You're now choosing what points we go with. What are you gonna choose, Ben?
Pop culture, Hanks for 400, please.
And we already did this one, Ben.
Is that my fault, Hunter, or
it's the game board's fault for not clearing him out?
Right.
And that's the truth.
300.
Really
300.
Ben, you want to go for 300 on that same thing?
Yes, Game Master. That sounds great.
Boy, I'm Hanks'd up, double cup, higher than Jim Lovell was. I eat so many shrimp. I'm a VIP at the Bubba Gump. My money long, that's my green mile. My pocket's ready to blow. My weed extremely loud. Your girl incredibly close. Our lyrics by this song, Tom Hanks. By this YouTube famous hip-hop duo. What?
Why is this a question?
Carly Rae Jensen. Who is Carly Rae Jensen?
Jepsen.
I don't know her name. Here's the thing. I don't care about pop culture references like this. Let's be clear. I don't want to have negative points at the end of the game.
Ben Gertz, you got it wrong.
Is this his son? Is this his son that's the hip-hop guy?
I wish it was his son.
Chet or whatever?
No, it's not. It's not. Thomas Horton.
It's Time Flies Tuesday, right? What is? Oh, no!
False. You just... make me cry at night.
Sparks.
You're the most condescending, mean Game Master ever.
That's why I am successful.
Just imagine if Alex Trebek was this mean.
I know. Will Ferrell at least has like a little hope of, he's like, oh, that's correct. That's true.
Okay.
Sparks, you better get it.
Who is LMFAO? That's all I got.
No, I'm just sitting here in sadness.
Shaking his head.
LMFAO is a hip hop duo? I mean, I went for a joke with the Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah, I mean, Ben was even closer. No, who is Buckwheat Groats?
What is that? Are you making up words right now?
You want to see the best YouTube video of all time? Go watch Buckwheat Groats Tom Hanks. Literally,
Wait, I have seen that, right? They Photoshop his head into like a bunch. Yes.
Onto every shot.
Yeah, I saw that. Yes. I totally forgot
it's
about
amazing.
It.
It is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
He shoots a police officer with an Uzi.
Yeah, I did see
it's
that.
It's amazing,
one.
Dude. He's okay. He's like fist pumping the whole time.
Okay,
good
move
question.
On.
Good question. I like it.
I'm telling you, man. You're welcome. Moving on. Brandon Sparks, you have the floor.
You've got a friend in Hanks for 400?
You've got a friend in Hanks for 400. No, it should be good.
Okay.
Let's find out if it is or not. You true love can exist.
He's doing it. He's doing it.
If true love can exist between a person and an inanimate object, this is Tom Hanks' best friend of all time. Who's a, is that? Is that Thomas Horton?
I'm going to go Wilson the Volleyball.
Oh my gosh. Who is Wilson?
Yes.
Who is Wilson? Thomas Horton taking a massive lead.
Suck it, Sparks.
Is this like The Martian? Are we waiting for the return trip from Earth to the spacecraft? Like for the delay
yeah.
here?
Well, I mean, it's in between anywhere between 17 and 4 minute windows.
The trajectories are just all wrong, guys. Let's go ahead and say there's not enough points on the board that remain for me to actually. Like, I don't even know if I could get back to zero, but I definitely can't win. So,
real life Hanks for 500, I think, is still left.
Is that the Chet?
Dan, you,
is that Chet Hayes?
Is it? It is. Thomas, you do get to choose now because you didn't fail as miserably as the other two people on this podcast. Thomas, what are you going to choose?
Let's do Pop Culture Hanks 100.
Pop Culture Hanks 100. Tom Hanks terribly mouths the lyrics to this equally terrible Carly Rae Jepsen song and his official music video. Lay it on me, Thomas Horton.
It's I really, really like you.
And the answer is, I really like you, but I will accept I really, really
oh,
like you.
Oh, come on.
Yes!
Hey, that's close enough for such a tragedy of a...
It's close
of a,
enough.
Yeah, that's a tragic
it's
moment in
enough.
His career.
I tried to
it
wipe
really
it from
is.
My memory.
It's,
easily a
it
low
was
point.
Bad.
Easily the lowest point.
Yeah, it was pretty miserable.
Lowest point. Pretty. Name a lower point and tell me I'm wrong.
What is left? What is left, Hunter?
What is left?
You got
Let's
a friend in
here.
Hanks for 200?
You got a friend in Hanks. 1 and 200 are both left. Thomas?
Let's go 200.
You got a friend in Hanks for 200. In the highest earning film of his career, Tom Hanks co-stars alongside this actor. Who got it, gentlemen?
Sparks.
No, Sparks. Ben got it. No, oh, I did. Who is Tim Allen?
Oh, back in the game, Brandon Sparks. All who right. is Tim Allen?
Correct.
That's Tim the Allen highest is, grossing film because I don't think that's accurate.
Toy Story
ben,
3.
It was literally the thing you sent me earlier today.
No, the
showed
adjusted,
that was his highest grossing.
Well,
film.
Well, okay, so adjusted for
I
inflation.
I based that question off of that.
Yeah, and
I based it no, off of that. You should be ashamed.
It's Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3. It is.
It is Toy Story 3.
You've got a friend in Hanks 100.
For 100 is left on the board.
Wait, what?
Tom Hanks has collaborated with this director more than anyone else. Thomas Horton.
Who is Steven Spielberg?
Yeah.
Thomas Horton. That clears out. You've got a friend in Hanks.
What is left? I don't know what's left. Hank through the years.
What 300. Is left? Hanks through the years for 1 and 2 is left.
Okay.
Pop Culture Hanks is cleared out. We have no more left on it.
I think it's just the Hanks through the years. Let's...
Yeah, which is...
Hanks through the years for 200.
The Daily Double.
Tom Hanks starred in both classic films, Apollo 13 and Toy Story, in this year.
1996.
False.
That's, yeah, it's
Brandon
right.
Sparks.
1995. What is 1995?
Correct. Brandon Sparks. That puts Thomas Horton at an unattainable victory. Because
you won't do Final Jeopardy.
All right, let's do it. Hanks through the years, 100. Last question.
Hanks through the years for 100. Tom Hanks won back-to-back Oscars in these years.
We already did that. No, oh, no, we haven't.
No, we did the
movies. We haven't done it, Ben.
Oh, my gosh.
Put your beer down, Ben. You've had one too many.
No, I'm not fazed by that. It's the suffering. It's just the suffering.
What, of being at a zero
one should never
game?
One should never suffer through Hank's Fest, Ben.
I am a good sport and still here.
It's a yearly festival next year, of enjoyment.
The next year, you will have to watch all Tom Hanks movies and study.
All right, okay, Sparks rang in for this one.
Now, I'm wondering if you're going by the year they were awarded or the year they were awarded for, is what I'm wondering.
Oh, I don't know, Brandon. I don't know.
So, I'm going to go with the year they were...
That is a literal answer. I do not know.
I'm going to go with the year that he won in, because you got it wrong earlier with the big one. So, I'm going to say 1990 or 1994 or 1995.
Did I get it wrong with the big one?
Yeah, the movie came out in 88, so, and he was awarded 89 is what you put. So,
also, you're wrong. It wasn't okay, those years, Brandon.
Then I can tell you the years they came out, which is the year he won for.
Well, you can't
guess
that
twice.
Because you can't guess twice. Thomas Horton?
I don't know. I don't. That was.
Actually, no. It's Ben Gertz. Ben Gertz.
Back to back Oscars in these years. Philadelphia was 93, and the Forrest Gump's 95, right?
Oh my God, don't do this to me, Ben. Don't do this to me.
I mean,
don't.
It would.
Back to back? Can't be 93 and 95, Ben. It literally doesn't work.
94. It doesn't compete. 94. I just. Yeah. Game Master, you are always right. 93 and 94.
Oh, Game Master.
Except for
I
half
just
the,
saved you, Ben.
Half the time.
Ben Gertz finally on the board for 100
Thank
points
you.
To finish out the game.
Thank you.
For all of you people at home, God bless you for listening this long. Ben Gertz in third place with 100 points. Brandon in second place with 1,500 points. And last but not least, our Hank's Fest 2015 Hank's Games champion, Tom Horton,
woo!
With 1,900
I just
points.
I want to say thank you to my parents for making me watch Tom Hanks movies. I want to say just the biggest thank you, of course, to the big man, Tom Hanks himself, for making all these films and for putting me in a place where I could win something as prestigious as this.
And a place called Hank's Fest.
And thank you to Harvey Weinstein.
And with that, without further ado, until next year, gentlemen.
Thank you, Game Master.
Godspeed. Godspeed.
Okay, hold on. 1 second. This is how we sign off, Hunter.
I wasn't signing off.
Okay, you weren't.
I was
okay.
Just saying, until next year.
Okay.
Hank's Fest
well,
2016.
Anyway, it's getting late. This is a long episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you've stayed this long, please make sure you follow us on Twitter at CineNation Show. Like us on Facebook at CineNation.
Watch Roadhouse.
Watch Roadhouse for a bad movie book club coming up soon. Also, make sure you look at our Medium page. We're trying to release a number of reviews, articles, essays throughout the week. Thank you guys, Ben, Hunter, Thomas, for sticking with us for this entire 1.5 hour show. And of course, we gotta thank the man, Tom Hanks, for having a great career and giving us so many great performances. Thank you guys for tuning in.
We're not worthy, Tom.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully you tune in for more episodes. Thanks. Bye.